Thanks, Jackie. Next speaker will be the Distinguished Professor of Feminist Studies at UCSC, and maybe her more important title, Steering Committee Member during the FSM, Bettina Aptecker.
Thank you so much. It is a joy to be here today. I share Jackie Goldberg's optimism and Dolores Huerta's beautiful words. And I was thrilled as I entered Sproul Hall Plaza to see all of those tables up, advocating and educating and petitioning. And it's just terrific. And that's what we were fighting for 50 years ago. And that at least still prevails, not only here, but on so many campuses around the country, is very gratifying, however far we have yet to go. I wanted to emphasize the extent to which FSM was indebted to and part of the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Coming out of Mississippi, coming out of protests in San Francisco, that's already been said. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I want to emphasize that. It was the black students in the South, the black sharecroppers in the South, the black churchwomen in the South who rose this country up and awakened us, who created the dynamics of moral authority that Martin Luther King Jr. then appropriately claimed. But never forget where the real impetus for that movement came from and then helped us here on this campus. One of the key things we learned in that movement was the power of mass movements and coalitions. And it was through that, including the labor movement in this area, the farm workers of which Dolores Huerta was a leader with Cesar Chavez, it was through that and the civil rights coalitions here in the Bay Area, and then the faculty on December 8th that finally broke the back of the regents and the governor and forced them to recognize that they would not go beyond the First and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution, and that they would guarantee freedom of speech and equal opportunity before the law. I also today take great inspiration from the tens of thousands of folks that filled the streets of Manhattan 10 days ago as the United Nations commenced deliberations on climate change. What a demonstration of people's power that was, starting with Indigenous Peoples' ceremony in Central Park, a coalition that included African Americans, Indigenous peoples from all over the world, Asian Americans, Latino, Chicano, Puerto Rican peoples, white middle class, working class of all hues and ethnicities, and the LGBT community. It was everybody. It was everybody, and it was a tremendous, they estimate, 400,000 people. Changing the politics and posturing around climate change has got to be a number one priority. If we don't do that, we won't have a planet in which to argue about the First Amendment. Okay. I also want to just endorse, embrace our sisters and brothers in Hong Kong today. That's what these yellow ribbons that we're wearing in solidarity with the courage of those students in that pro-democracy movement. I want to say that in the last years, tens of thousands of people in this country have marched for immigration rights, have demanded the DREAM Act be passed, and have done everything they can to stop the roundup of so-called undocumented people. 1 million people marched in Washington in April 2004 for reproductive freedom. I'm enumerating these things because we get these protests as sound bites on the evening news and then forget that they happened. And then the media says there's no student movement anymore, that people are apathetic, that they're not really organizing. That's not true. Don't believe it. And that's the cynicism that Jackie Goldberg was responding to. Don't believe it. And don't let it stop you from engaging in meaningful social justice and peace movements that need to happen. One final comment. There's all these new technologies like Twitter and smartphones and so on make possible almost instantaneous communication. And we can see the role of this has played in many protests around the world, including in Hong Kong now, but also in the Arab Spring, all over the world. But I want to emphasize to you that there is no substitution for grassroots, face-to-face, day-to-day, neighborhood-to-neighborhood organizing. There's no substitution for that. That is what inspires people. That is what gets people to understand that their issues that they're concerned about are connected to other issues, that we are all part of one another. Then we can have a vision and propose to people a vision of a world in which there is peace and social justice and great happiness. Thank you so much. Yeah.